Welcome to episode 2 of PFASology. In this show, we will be talking to 15 early stage researchers in the Perforce 3 network. We are young researchers working all across Europe investigating per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances, better known as PFAS. In the last few years, there has been increasing attention on these substances from scientists, NGOs, and government. Whilst some of them are useful, some of these chemicals have also become widespread contaminants found in most environments and animals on this planet. Scientists all over the world are working on these chemicals, and here in the Perforce 3 network, we are also researching and learning about these chemicals. In this show, we will be talking about PFAS, the research going on at the moment, and some of the young scientists doing this work. In each episode, we are going to look at one of these aspects investigated by one of our researchers and share what we are learning about PFAS. In this episode, we'll be talking about PFAS risk assessment. Hello, my name is Rachel London. I am an early stage researcher at ETH Zurich in Switzerland. And in today's podcast, I'm going to be leading with a story from Flanders in Belgium, which is particularly close to my heart as I lived near the affected area for a number of years. Stop eating vegetables and eggs from your own garden, particularly if you are pregnant. This was the advice given to a small Flemish community just west of Antwerp earlier this year. In June 2021, the local government started collecting lots of samples, soil, groundwater, fruit, vegetables, eggs, milk, local produce from the area. They were doing this as they were conducting a study to understand the level of PFOS pollution in the area. PFOS is perfluorooctansulfonic acid. This is a specific type of PFAS. Until they know the levels, the advice was given to try and minimise the potential exposure of the population to this PFOS. So, during construction of the Ring Road of Antwerp, excavations were found to have high levels of PFAS in the soil. VTR-NWS, a Flemish news service, reported that this was likely due to a nearby chemical factory that stopped producing PFOS in 2002, which is almost 20 years ago. Since this information has become public, the residents of Flanders have become concerned about the possible health implications this exposure might have had on them and their families. Executives from 3M were called recently to a hearing at the Flemish Parliament in September 3rd, 2021. The Flemish government is trying to work out the implications this contamination may have had on the citizens who live there. Now, there are many data gaps, and the understanding of toxicology and epidemiology of PFAS, like PFOS, is really at the cutting edge of science. How exactly do we work out if this substance and other PFASs similar to it are dangerous to human health? In this episode, I'm going to be talking to Lars Brücken, who is one of the early stage researchers within the Perforce 3 project. Lars is an early stage researcher working at the Karolinska Institute, which is based in Sweden. Welcome, Lars.
Thank you, Rachel, for having me.
Yeah, thank you for being interviewed. I'm going to start with a very basic question.
Yeah, that's right.
Why did you apply for this position in Perforce 3?
Yeah, that's a good one. For me, it was really the combination of many different aspects from this program that made it so super interesting. So first of all, there was a topic. I studied human toxicology, so I have a high interest in finding out about chemicals and how they influence our health and how these negative effects can be prevented. Then there was the program itself. The Marie Curie program is a very attractive environment for a PhD student because it includes more than just focusing on your own research, but you also have other researchers working on the same overarching topic in different areas. So that's very exciting. And finally, you also have the European IDEA that is a cornerstone of this program. It's not only about you doing your research by yourself, but it's about cultural exchange and borderless collaboration. Yeah, these were the reasons for me to apply.
Great, thanks. We heard about the people in Flanders being exposed to these chemicals earlier. How do we know about the dangers that come from this exposure?
That's basically where toxicology and epidemiology come into play. So they have an important role. Toxicology, that is the science that's all around poisons and how they can act on the human body, for example. And of epidemiology, I suppose by now everyone have heard of, it is the science of disease occurrence and spread, and ultimately about finding out about links, for example, with exposure situations like the one in Flanders. And these two research fields, the toxicology and epidemiology, are the basis of our work package, the basis of the work package that I'm part of, where we try to find out more about possible dangers from PFAS. So coming back to your question, a huge part of finding out about possible dangers of an existing exposure situation, like the one in Flanders, is having a chemical risk assessment in place.
And what do you mean by a chemical risk assessment?
So a risk assessment is a process where first the hazard needs to be identified. So that is a chemical, for example, that can be harmful for our health. The next step then is that this hazard needs to be characterized. So we need information on how dangerous it is. That can be done, for example, by testing it on cells in the lab. And then we would know about what the mechanisms of harm or the mechanisms of toxicity are and how exactly they work. And then the exposure needs to be characterized. In the Flanders case, it was described that they took different biological samples. I suppose it was soil and vegetables, correct?
Yeah, and a few other things, but yes.
So it would certainly also be good to take blood samples from the residents in the area to see how they have been exposed internally as well. With all this information that I just talked about, the information on hazard and the information on the exposure, the potential risk or the chance for a negative health effect happening can then be calculated.
Okay, so a basic risk assessment, we have four steps. First, you identify the hazard. What's the hazard? Secondly, we test for the hazard. Is that right?
We want to know about, yeah, the characteristics of that that hazard, yeah.
Okay, then thirdly, we need to work out how exposed the population is. So that's working out concentrations and samples, right?
Exactly, to see the exposure situation, yeah.
And finally, we compare the hazard and the exposure to try and work out the risk that these people are presented with. Is that correct?
We take all the information into account, correct. And then we can calculate the risk, the chance for a negative health effect happening. And that's the risk assessment, correct.
Are you doing a risk assessment in your work package?
No, we do not do full risk assessments in our work package. That is something usually authorities do.
Okay, what particular authorities and who do you mean by authorities?
So, I mean, we have European authorities in place. So there's, for example, the European Food Safety Authority, the EFSA in Italy, or the European Chemicals Agency, the ECHA, that's located in Finland. So there are different authorities taking care of these extensive chemical risk assessments. Last year, for example, the EFSA did quite an extensive risk assessment for the dominant PFAS in the environment at that point, and they established a guidance value for human exposure for the sum of the four major PFAS.
So what exactly are you working on in relation to risk assessment?
There are different areas there. So we are part of the different areas of such a chemical risk assessment. So what I introduced earlier, the hazard identification, the hazard characterization, looking at the exposure situations, those are areas where we do research.
And why is it important that you do such research?
Yeah, well, as you can imagine, the quality and also the robustness of such a risk assessment is highly dependent on the data that is available. So studies like ours that are investigating things like a hazard characterization or, for example, looking into exposure situations, they are the foundation to understand how dangerous a chemical can be for us.
Is all the data that the authorities require to perform a risk assessment currently available?
That's very, very good and very tough question, actually. There is certainly a huge lack of data when it comes to toxicity data on PFAS. This is especially the case when it comes to direct effects on humans, and even less is known when we think about mixtures of PFAS.
Okay, and what kind of data gaps are you talking about?
It's mainly mechanistic information. I mean, it's in all different fields, but mainly mechanistic information on the toxicity of single, but also more so in the toxicity of mixed PFAS in humans. This information is missing to get the whole picture of PFAS toxicity in humans. What we do is we are working at the forefront of these knowledge gaps and we try to fill them.
And is that the purpose of Work Package 2 in PERFORCE 3?
It's not the aim of our work package to produce information for risk assessment. Of course, it would be amazing if our work does find its way into future chemical risk assessments for PFAS, but we have different main aims in our work package. First of all, we want to find out about the mechanisms of toxicity coming from PFAS. So we have young researchers working with actual cells in the lab. They treat those cells with PFAS and different combinations, different mixtures to answer this question. Then we want to investigate if and how PFAS exposure can be linked to actual health outcomes. So does it increase the risk for certain diseases like cardiovascular disease? That's where, for example, my doctoral project is located. Also, leading over to one topic where we want to find out about biomarkers or indicators that can be used to identify or characterize such a health effect, such a disease. And then we further have PhD students figuring out the exposure situations from blood samples. So looking into legacy PFAS, but also novel PFAS in the blood.
All right, so Work Package 2 is looking into three main areas. So you're saying mechanism of toxicity is one.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
The next one is to find out the link between exposure and actual health outcomes. And then the third one was looking at the exposure of legacy and current PFAS through biomonitoring, but also trying to work out the exposure. Is that correct?
To use blood samples and to find out the concentrations in the blood. Yeah, correct.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. For our final question, what is the impact that you hope this project is going to have on the area of PFAS, toxicology, and epidemiology?
We certainly want to expand the knowledge about PFAS and PFAS mixtures, with focus also on emerging compounds, so not only looking at compounds that are around, but also on the ones that are coming up. We will then hopefully have a solid database at some point in the future that more targeted and effective actions can be taken by, for example, policymakers and authorities. We also aim to develop tools for better identification and characterization of PFAS and their mixtures to help future projects like ours to be more effective. And the ultimate goal, of course, is to make our environment safer for generations to come. This sounds like quite a strong sentence, but it is actually important to have this generation thought and to give it a special importance. Because with PFAS, this is very important because they are so persistent and so mobile that they spread over the whole world and don't go away by themselves. So we cannot ignore this problem and we have to think about it in a bigger picture.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks to Lars for talking to me about how we can assess the potential risk posed by being exposed to PFAS chemicals. And thank you to you for joining me, and I look forward to talking to you next time. In the meantime, you can follow us on Twitter, ResearchGate, and our website is perforce3-itn.eu. This project has received funding from the European Union's Horizon 2020 Research and Innovation Programme under the Marie Skłodowska-Curie Grant Agreement, number 860665. This has been PFASology. Thank you for joining us, and I'll see you next time.